Well, here we are. We're recording. My dog loves you. Hello, everybody. This is Matt Marr. What? It's a podcast. We're doing a throwback. Got another returner, Mr. I feel like you should just be Karamo, like Cher.
That's the plan. I'm planning on one day just being Beyonce. That is the plan.
Sorry, I just imagine you doing hair.
Exactly,
motion.
I would do all
yes,
of it.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for being here again.
Thank you for having me.
You are, yeah, put your feet up, sugar. You are just, I have to say it, you're just so pretty. Really, every time I have you on, I'm like, my podcast should always be naked.
By the way, I lost a crown earlier today, so I'm actually missing a tooth, and I'm still getting these compliments, which is why I love my little ginger.
Oh, well, it's true. You can't even see your tooth.
Am I the only one that calls you little ginger?
You actually, some people call me like ginger, but you're the only one that calls me my little ginger.
Good.
You are.
Perfect.
So you win. You get that.
Yes.
You get that.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's totally yours. And you're the only one, actually, that I call brown sugar.
Look at that.
I know.
All right.
So,
look, my little ginger and brown sugar.
I know. It's true. It
sounds like 80s toys that no one's that everyone
stopped. My Little Pony that they forgot about. We just got rid of those. What have you been doing since the last time we saw you here? It was like a year ago. I'm taking off my shoes.
It has been a year ago. I was in the car coming over here, and I was trying to figure out how long has it been. So, I don't know. I got into porn, which has been amazing.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Shout out to Sean Cody. That's the one you watch?
No, I don't. I really don't watch porn hardly anymore now that I'm dating somebody.
Oh, that's what happened.
I mean, you do. I guess you do. You've been... I'm still new to this. You've been in a relationship for years.
Yes, I love porn.
Do you go back to porn?
It's not that I... So, when you're in that first year phase...
I mean, I'm not saying I don't look at porn.
Yes.
But it's not like, you know, like, hey, it's time to, you know, have a little wristy session. You want to watch something.
Because you're having regular sex
now. Yeah, because now I'm having regular sex.
Makes sense.
Hi, Mom.
But,
Hi, Mom.
But I have an issue with porn because I've used porn as a distraction. Like in college, mm-hmm. I would have porn on while I'm studying.
Okay.
And so anytime I'm reading or doing something, porn is on. You know how some people listen to music?
Uh-huh.
I do that with porn. No bullshit.
You still do?
Still do.
And so, is it just, I mean, well, you're...
And I'm most of the time, I'm not even...
Is it even sexual?
No. It has now become just... Well, there's sometimes it's sexual.
Yeah.
But like I would say 47 to 53% of the time, mm-hmm. it's just on and uh-huh. I'm doing work. And I put it on when I'm about to do work.
Really? That would not help me work.
It's so weird.
What is there like... Is there a certain type? Like the different... Like I used to listen to Mozart in grad school because it would help me think and write papers.
Yes.
Do you like... Are there certain types of...
So you get it.
Well, yes, I do. But are there certain types of porn that you watch?
Yes.
That help you with studying and other porn you use to like, you know...
Yes. For pleasure
so time?
It's funny you said that because I use cam sites, which they can't see me, but like there's a site called Cam4 or Chatterbait or something uh-huh. like that.
Oh, Chatterbait. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so basically I can see, I see other people
uh-huh.
and it's just them doing their show mm-hmm. naked or having sex.
Uh-huh.
And I can have that in the background while I'm working.
And you were like fully clothed working?
I'm fully clothed working. There's nothing sexual about it. And then if I want to like get, you know, frisky,
pleasure time.
Yeah. I turn that off and put on like Pornhub or something. But I just like to see the naked people doing stuff in the background. It blocks me out, and I can just – I'm focused.
I totally relate to it. I think that it – it's
you're
just
a therapist.
Like musical.
Diagnose that. What does that mean?
Well, I think honestly, maybe this is my real skewed way of thinking of this because I adore you. But first of all, you're a very sexual person.
Yes.
I mean, you are a Scorpio. We've discussed that.
Amen.
But also, too, like – And I mean this. Somebody's going to vomit when they hear this, but I 100% mean this. You were like so loving.
Aww.
Like you were like an amazing hugger, and you're just loving. You even when I see you do stuff, you can feel like love, tenderness, like pouring from you. Mm. I'm really not. People are saying, Maddie, you're just saying to this because he's hot and has 12 inches. But no, it really is. Like, and so I think that you, I think you love sex because you love sex, but also I imagine that you really love, I can see you probably liking watching people have sex. Like, you love seeing people connect.
That's what it is.
That's what.
That being in the background and people, you know what? Okay, not because people are going to get on me now, because now I'm trying to make me watching porn all the time something deeper. Hey, but I also think...
It's dinner time, kids. Sit down.
Oh, sit down.
That's just Rodney getting finger banged.
Exactly.
It's just fine. Eat your peas.
Watch it.
Eat that carrot. Not like him. With your fork, Rodney. I don't know. Rodney's my mom's boyfriend's name. I don't know why I use that name. I'm sorry, Rodney.
Because I've seen Rodney on a campsite.
No. I'm sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that part of it, you're right. I like seeing people connect. And also, when people are naked, they're most vulnerable.
Oh,
and
yes.
I enjoy...
You love vulnerability.
I do love vulnerability. So it allows me to... while I'm focused, be able to see people in a vulnerable space, mm-hmm. which makes me feel clear. And
I love that. Would you ever be on Naked and Afraid?
No.
It looks really hardcore.
It looks really hardcore. And the reason I can is because I'm a prissy princess in my inner self.
Do you don't like camping?
Hell fuck no. I've never been camping.
I went once with church and Boy Scouts, and I hated it.
Yeah, not doing it.
Never, ever.
I've been to tons of nude resorts or nude getaways.
Mm-hmm. That's different. You have a hotel room.
No, some of them are like in the desert.
Oh, you mean like nudist colony things?
Yeah, but you're in tents, but it's not really camping because like you could walk 10 minutes and you could get to
facilities. I actually think it's... I've been to I once went to a party when I first moved to LA. That was a very naked party. I love it. You have a Greek god body. I do not. No, however, not really. Though, please you do. But whenever I am naked like that, there's the initial fear of I'm going to get naked. And then once I take my clothes off, I'm like, fuck it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, raw naked, fuck it. And so I think I would like the nudist thing because I think it would feel very free and you just get used to dicks and boobs out, right?
Yeah, completely.
And it's not sexual.
It's
or is
not
it?
Sexual at all. At all. At all.
Is it do you go to gay ones, straight ones?
I've been to four gay ones,
mm-hmm.
and one straight one.
Are the gay ones prettier? Are they prettier?
And I've also been to one family one, which was kind of weird, but then after a day or so, I kind of got over it.
Uh-huh.
Because at first I was like, oh, there's kids around. But then you realize that everyone's just being raised in this nudist, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the gay ones, they're the same. It's not fun really? Or not. There's just, everyone's just...
Totally,
I've been to the parties, but yeah. In LA. But those are sex parties.
Not sex. I would 100% go with you.
Yes. All right. We're done. We're doing
it. Just go get naked and have beer.
We're doing it.
Can you drink beer there?
Yes, you drink beer.
I will do that.
We're doing it.
All right, I will buy the Corona.
Will the new boyfriend be okay?
I will ask him. He might come.
I'm with it.
He might come.
Because my boyfriend would come.
It's
and so
not
we'll
sexual,
just
yeah.
we'll all just go.
Well, I'll just go. I think it would be a wonderful exercise. Everybody should go to a nudist colony once in their life. I've
done
just made
and
that
done.
Proclamation.
I have one in Palm Springs we can go to immediately.
Perfect. I love it. Okay,
I'm really holding you to this.
I really mean it. I would love to go, 100%.
Okay.
My mother's going to call me, Matthew, you don't need to talk about that kind of stuff on the show. People are going to get an idea. You're on commercials now. That's what she's going to say because the people are going to make that correlation.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because we should talk because you do a lot of great work. What are you working on now? Last time you were on the show, you were just starting Dr. Drew.
Yes.
Yes.
Was I finished with OWN?
You were finished with OWN.
I was finished with OWN.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I left. I still do Drew sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but not really. I left.
You were great on the show. I did watch that show because I used to have cable then, but I'm on cable now.
It's really.
But you were sassy.
Sassy. I then got hired by HuffPost Live, mm-hmm. Huffington Post
yes,
Live.
Yes, which you've been doing for a while.
Yes, I've been doing that for a while, and it's been amazing.
Did you meet
Ariana?
Yes.
Was
she wonderful? I
she
can't
is
do an accent.
Brilliant.
But she sounds so wonderful. That I sound like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
You do.
She's just so she's like smart zen to me or whatever. Because I need to read. Have you read a book?
No, I haven't.
Not Blink, not Hush.
Shh.
I don't know. What it's I was going. It's called something. Anyway, like, what was Ariana like?
So I'm just inspired by people who, similar to us, come from backgrounds that sometimes don't have the most individuals who are successful, not to generalize, and who have made it through and who've forged this path for other people. And being a woman from another country in America and being able to create what she's created, I think is just
fantastic.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, come on. It's like me being a little gay black boy from the South who comes from Jamaican parents, immigrant parents. You know, for me to forge the path I'm forging, it just is, I think it's inspiring.
It's actually amazing. And I don't mean that
you
way
as well. You know what I mean?
But you had a work, you had a lot probably more. I guess everybody has their own.
Yeah, you as well. I mean, I think that anytime you are able to forge a path, it's just.
That's true for anyone.
Amazing.
It is. That, and not like, oh my God, this turkey sandwich is amazing. But I mean like real amazing.
Yes, real amazing.
Like amazing. Yeah. I'm trying to reclaim that word.
Amazing?
Yeah, I feel like it's like, oh my God, your shirt's amazing. I'm like, it's not.
It's not.
Sometimes shirts can be amazing, but save it for when they're amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hosting 101, you're never supposed to say amazing or awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are the two words.
That is, you don't ever say that. Can't say. And so you're done with HuffPo. No, you're still doing HuffPo.
Yes.
But you're now doing it here in LA.
Yes, but only like twice a week and just for a little bit longer.
You are always moving. I mean,
because this business, as you know, you constantly have to hustle.
It really, yeah. It's a. I was watching CNN, and it was like on in the background,
like porn,
and it was just, you know, sometimes two things, like sometimes you have those things on the background, and then there's just that moment where some reason you're at the right. It's like when you're in a crowd and someone talks right when everybody's silent for that 1 second. Mm-hmm. And this guy said this, and it always stuck with me these years ago. He said, in the middle of the silence of me doing things, he just said, he was a CEO, whatever, maybe a big guy. And he said, as soon as I get the job, I'm asking myself, what's the next job?
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that stuck with me as far as I went, I'm going to think about that for my act, for like my hosting, for my acting career, that to not... And I'm sorry, it's not about not being happy, but it's about
keep on going. You have to keep on going.
Well, also too, I think it's like you just have to have something to look forward to. I think just as people, and not to worry over, but something that whether you're older and retired, and you look forward to a freaking bridge game every week with your friends. That's something to look forward to.
Yep,
and
completely.
That's when I know. That's when anxiety really can kind of go at me and freak me out, is that if I don't have something to look forward to.
I feel you on that. My boyfriend just told me that I'm addicted to working because I work from 7 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock at night.
Well,
every day.
A, you've progressed a lot, and B, I mean, maybe you are addicted to that, but...
I'm not. I just... Like you, there's anxiety when you're just sitting still.
Would you work when you... But you're intense. I do get a laid-backness, but you're like... You are balls deep about everything in life.
Yes. And so are you.
Yeah, but I mean, I really... that's something I love about you. I know that you, as being a host, and you're farther along in the process than I am. Much farther. And a lot farther. Like... years. But no, it is inspiring, like, in knowing you, seeing how, because I've seen, like, when being friends with Jess and with Chick,
the journey
I've seen and heard of the hustle.
Yeah,
so it's not like, oh, Karama just got this. Yes. I'm like, no, Karama did not.
The job that we have, a mutual friend, has she Jess ever been on here?
Jess would hate this. This is her nightmare.
I know.
Jess would...
Did she ever tell you that I had her participate in like this pilot presentation I was shooting?
To no. Excel?
Oh my gosh. I needed her to come because I needed somebody white and pretty. And I was like, can you come? And she came and she seemed so uncomfortable, but she did a really good job.
Oh,
so
did.
I would think that she could do this.
She says like, oh, I'm not good at that. I'm terrible. And then she's actually good at it.
Exactly.
Like, she whatever. Could.
But like, I should have gotten fired from that job a long time before I actually quit, because I was the worst. I was more focused on hustling this career than anything else.
That's how I am in my day job right now.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Which means God and the universe... I interchange those for the atheists out there.
That's true.
Is letting you know that soon enough, It's time for you to let go and give your faith. Put your faith in yourself and go forward with this.
Mm. That hit me right in my tummy. Because that got deep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I feel like I'm soon to be that.
Yeah.
Soon.
It's coming.
It is coming, actually.
You know, everything we just said in the past 30 seconds could have been sexual. Hitting you in the tummy, going deep, coming soon.
I started with balls deep. You said balls deep.
And then you said on your tummy, going deep. I just want to make sure, like, all of that. Coming soon. Everything right there was sexual. There's, like, some weird sexual tension that just came out right there. I just want to acknowledge that.
I just want to, well, you are new redheads and I'm new black guys. But, well, I'm not in an open relationship. So, all right. Well, we don't have a lot of questions. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Because we can talk more. Is there something?
We can talk. I'm here.
I mean, but I can. Well, maybe we'll answer a question and then we'll talk about whatever.
I'm with it. And we'll I'm down.
We're freelancing this show, everybody. All right. This is from. I only had two questions this week, y'all, because you're not sending your questions.
Send questions.
Yes, send your fucking questions, please.
If you send a question to Maddie, I'll send a dick pic on Snapchat.
Are you big on the Snapchat?
I love Snapchat.
Where can people find you on Snapchat?
At Karamo Brown.
Karamo
Brown. K-A-R-A-M-O. Karamo. Brown, like the color.
Your name would be very well sung. Like if somebody could write a song about you, you know, they could be like,
I put my name in every song.
No, like, because
I'm not joking.
Because it has so many vowels. Like, I fell in love with Karamo Brown. Whatever.
Hey.
There you go. See?
Hey.
Uh-oh, you're dancing. Hey. I'm not a good songwriter. All right, this is from Thomas, age 28. Dear, whatever, this is going to lead us down a path because I know. Dear Maddie, how do you know if someone is the one or is that all bullshit? That's a question. Someone
Thomas,
is the one, all bullshit.
Thomas, at 28. Let me tell
Sugar,
you something.
You don't even know how to manscape at 28, okay? It is.
At all.
At all, like...
I think I was still doing like little weird triangle boxes at that age.
I was at 28. I think I was free form. I was like, whatever.
Whatever happens,
whatever.
It happens.
I'm better now.
Yeah.
I'm better now.
You want to get that first?
Well, I mean, I mean, this is personal opinion, Thomas, but you know, if you're, I don't know if you're with somebody or not. I'm interested to find out, but I don't think there's a one from, in my personal opinion, I think we have soul mates. I think there's people we connect with. Mm-hmm. I actually think you and I are soulmates. Like, I think that, but I mean that like in a friend way, but I also mean that like, you know, we've joked before, but like, I would date somebody like you, you know, like, I think that we would like be very intense, but very intense, but I also feel like, but that said, like, I ferociously love the person I'm with now. And it's not that I don't love, but I think it's just looking at, well, my first boyfriend, you know, I think he was a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was just the right person for me to spend my life with. And I think there for me is a distinction is that we're talking about, to me, it's two different things, Thomas. It's about who you connect with in your soul and who you feel like supports you in what you're meant to do in this universe. And then also the practicality of a person can do that and it's not the person you're meant to live with.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of where people connect with people on this emotional level and they like, but they don't do the fucking dishes and that drives them so crazy that they can't stand that or that person isn't able to be monogamous and that's a deal breaker for them when the other person wants to be in an open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we looked at people more of like, oh, well, this is somebody that is a soul, is somebody that I connect with in my life, but they isn't just the one and only. I think a lot of that is just, Thomas, for me, is a lot of like religious, patriarchal bullshit.
Preach, Maddie.
That ties women to men, but whatever.
Preach.
That's what I think.
Preach.
That's what I mean, do you think, I don't know if he wants his name, but do you think your boyfriend is the one?
His name is Ian. He doesn't
okay,
mind.
Okay, okay.
So my answer to that is, Thomas, the one is yourself. That's who you should be falling in love with.
Shut it. Say it again.
The one is yourself. So there is one, and you're living with him, looking at him every single day. So fall in love with yourself first, and then throughout the rest of the time, and you give up this construct, like you said, Maddie, that, you know, they made up this bullshit that you have to be with one person, or there's going to be one person to fulfill you, or whatever the case may be. Just fall in love with yourself. And then as life happens, some people, like you said, will come in your life that you'll love, you'll enjoy. And they might be a month relationship, or they might be 20 years, or they might be 50, or whatever the case may be. But you always be with you. So that's what I think.
I love that. You know, and because Thomas, I have a friend from high school, like, and I was so in love with him, and he is not gay. But it was really healing. The last time I saw him, we talked about how we both feel like, my dog's knocking stuff down. We both feel like that we are, he even said self, he's like, you are a soulmate for me.
Yes.
And we both see that. And he even said, sometimes I wish I could be that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love you so much as a friend.
Yeah.
And I connect with you. And when I talk to you, I feel inspired. And so that would suck if I was like, well, you only get one, you know?
Exactly.
I love that, though. You are. I keep looking at my computer because that's where the... But he is. That, like, the one is you.
Yep.
Were you ever on, like, there has to be a one soulmate for you, or when?
No. And the only reason why is because all of my friends...
Because you're so goddamn pretty. You knew. You were like, nobody else is going to be this pretty.
No one is going. I'm going to look at myself, and that's it.
I'm getting that disco and looking at myself in the mirror.
No, not that at all. I was lucky enough to meet early on in my life what would be considered soulmates, who are straight, one's straight, one's a woman, that we have been in each other's lives in a way that only a soulmate, I believe, the concept of soulmate, we could be together.
Yeah.
And so I've always, anytime I've gone to a relationship with a guy, thought, oh, you're not supposed to complete me, because I've already felt completed since I was a child, because I've met these people and I always felt understood.
Preach, yeah.
And so luckily I had that.
Well, I think I'm going to say that too, Thomas, to add to that, and for anybody that relates to that, that's mistake 101. If you're looking for a relationship to complete you, that Jerry Maguire shit is not, that's like the worst advice ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
But isn't that the advice they sell to women? Like, I need to find a guy to complete me.
Yeah. It's like, well, I didn't like the movie Trainwreck. With
yes,
spoiler alert, it's coming. Do you saw it?
Yes, and I love Amy Schumer.
I love Amy Schumer. I thought it was great and funny. And then at the end, she has to get a fucking cheerleader outfit to get this guy to like her and like not be ballsy and bullshitty and
exactly
and not be slutty and sex positive and throw all that out the window.
Yes,
I mean, you totally just eradicated everything I felt like you've built up in this movie.
But that was some Hollywood executive that said,
"Oh yeah."
You know,
Amy Schumer did not want that ending.
Yeah, some Hollywood exec was like, we need for you to sell this to women because women want to believe that sometimes you just have to submit to get what you want. No.
There's nothing wrong with submitting.
There isn't.
Nothing. Wow. I've submitted before. But no, not emotionally. That I really like Spy. I thought that was a great female-driven. It wasn't about love. I loved that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Totally Spy different.
Spy was great.
Well, when did you, I don't know why it just popped in my head, because I remember having this as a kid, like, when did you, this is almost like a Chatty Maddie question, but I like it. When did you realize that you can save yourself, like, in life, that you are the protagonist that can actually change your life? Do you remember that moment for you where you're like, oh, this is actually in my control and my personal power to do this?
Yes.
I don't know why. It's a good question.
It's a really great question. When you just realize, yeah, I think mine's was my senior year.
Oh, really?
Because I was trying to balance
and
figuring
this is
out,
in Houston?
No, Florida at
Florida,
this time.
Okay.
Because my parents had gotten divorced.
Oh,
and
okay.
So being the youngest, my siblings were all in college, and my mother thought that it would be better if I lived with my father.
Where in Florida?
Coral Springs.
Coral Springs
of Parkland.
That sounds white.
It was so white.
It sounds really white.
There was, hold on, let me see. In my graduating high school class, like 800 of us or 700 of us, and there was only about 15 black people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. But all right, so it's your
that was it was cool for me because, you know.
Well, you found out you could save yourself.
Yeah. Well, no, it's because I found out that white guys think I'm hot. Do you need a Kleenex?
Your eye looks like it's itching. Are you good?
No, I'm good.
Is a fan too much?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I found out that white guys think I'm hot, so I was like, hey, what's up?
Hey, they are.
Sure, suck my penis.
Are you really normally into white guys?
I'm into whatever.
And what? So you dated black guys too?
Yeah.
Do you think it's... this is a whole other... I don't want to get into that question.
I've just recently been... Like, my Tumblr is mm-hmm. full... And I hate saying this because I feel like the way when white guys or somebody's like, oh, I'm so into black guys now. I'm so into Asian guys right now. Every porn I watch is an Asian guy.
Really? See, I had a friend who's an actor who's black and they were talking about how, and I think it is like people that say, I don't want to date black guys or whatever. And that gets,
oh yeah, it's racist. And stuff.
But it made me think of somebody that, like, I'm not exclusive. There are people I'm attracted to.
Yes, we all have people that,
like,
we're more attracted to.
But, like, who I've, like, formed bond are pretty much black men. And it made me think, am I, like, reverse racist?
No. That's just a preference. My boyfriend has never dated a white guy. Ever.
Ever.
Ever. Ever.
No, I was just...
He's never slept with one either. Ever.
He's not missing much. He's not. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, good. I feel better at myself. Yes. Okay, now back to the question, though. When did you realize, okay, you're a senior year.
It was senior year.
You could save yourself. What was the moment?
Senior year. I just was in a place where now all my friends knew that I liked guys.
Oh, wow. You were young. What year was that?
98,
going into 99. That's really senior. That's not an easy time to do that.
Yeah. It was. But I was, again, white school, so I felt kind of comfortable. And
do you think protected. If you were in a predominantly black school, you wouldn't have come out?
Well, the funny part is I went to a predominantly black university, an HBCU, because of the fact that I wanted to be out on campus and was, and changed the whole landscape of that. And I did. And it was like a lot of people just were not... Because I guess they had this idea that all gay men were effeminate, and so then they perceived me as more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So it allowed me to change a lot of things in the university that hadn't been changed before. Kicking down doors is what Kicking I fucking down. Do.
That's what you fucking do.
Yes. But it was the minute I realized that no matter what my father said, who was going to have a problem with my sexuality, which mm-hmm. he did, we stopped talking for 10 years, that no matter what he said or did, that I was still going to be able to achieve whatever I wanted. Because for some reason, I realized my life wasn't based on him. And that's when I realized that it was about me. That's when I saved myself.
And the voice that said that to you, was that you? Was that God? Was it both those things? Or do you give it a name? Or was it just...
What was it? I don't know. It was just that inner voice. It was me looking in the mirror.
It was the one.
Looking in the mirror and saying, listen, you got this.
Thomas, did you expect that answer?
Did you, Thomas?
Bam. Oh, my web designer is calling me right now. I wonder what he's saying right now.
I sent him that dick pic to put on there, like on your home page. I figured you'd get more traffic. Like, why not?
That's funny. I feel very LA right now because my agent is texting me to see if I'm going to go to an audition tomorrow. And
you're like, hell yeah.
I'm saying, yes, I'm in a show now. So, yes.
But the answer is yes. That's another thing. Come on, Maddie listeners. I want you to let you know another thing that I have attest my success to is that I don't say no to opportunities. I can't remember the last time I said no to an opportunity in this business. So, like, of course, you know, people want to do stuff all the time. But if it's in the business I want to be in, I believe there's a learning experience in everything. And so I will never say no.
Maybe one day, but
Not right now.
Not right now. I feel like there definitely is a place where I'm that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't get the job if you don't show up.
Well, like, I did that spec commercial for Tide, and people said, oh, you're going to do a spec commercial. You're not really going to get paid for that. It's going to be a da-da-da, because you get paid like a couple $100. And I went, no, but, you know, I want to – it was about same-sex marriage. I thought, I want to do this spot. I think it's going to look really good. And I did it, and I can't say what it is because I signed an NDA, but – cut to that commercial aired. It went viral on Facebook, like 1.5 million hits in like 4 days.
See?
And then cut to a week later, I was on set filming a national commercial that the casting director was reminded and saw me in that.
See?
And that's because I said yes.
If you would have not said yes, I tell people all the time, I meet so many young actors, models, hosts in this town.
I thought you were going to say models, actors, hoes.
Well, hoes are throughout that whole thing.
It's true. It's true.
That are always like, I want to do this in my career and I want to be famous. And I'm like, well, I just heard you say no yesterday to something. Or they get an audition and they're like, oh, I don't want to be in that. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you better say yes. Because also there's a, this is practice. You know, you.
Yeah.
Who is it? Twyla Tharp that said you need a 10,000 hours? Is that who it was? Who was it that said 10,000
hours? Several people
said.
I know that Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote Blink.
Yeah.
And he wrote, I think that's in the book, The Outliers.
Yes. But 10,000 hours.
Like, you the need Beatles it. Rehearsed like 10,000 hours
you
in
need
a club
it.
Like 5 nights a week before mm-hmm. they ever, for years.
You put in
think
your
I'm
hours.
Up to like 200.
You have to.
It's like my MFT hours. I've lost track. I don't even know. Jesus.
I think I'm somewhere, if there's 10,000 hours, I think I'm somewhere around that 7,000, 8,000 mark.
I would say you're almost in nine, sugar.
I'm almost there. Almost.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
For you.
I already feel like you are. I just can't wait. All right, let's go on to another question. That's the second and the last question. This is from Richard. Boy, it's a dick show today. We just got sausages everywhere. All right, Richard, 38. Dear Maddie, I have been with the same company for the last 5 years. I like my job. I don't love it, but I like the job. Oh, okay. I don't love it, but I like the job, love the life it gives me, so I think it balances out. However, my wife thinks I'm, quote, cheating myself by not having a career that I'm passionate about. But she doesn't complain about my paycheck. Do you think she's right? Richard, age 38.
Yes, she's right.
You do?
Yes.
You know, I remember, I see people that don't like, they don't care what their job is, and I get jealous of that. I mean, not as much anymore, because I'm, but I used to be like, how do you know? Like,
no,
I
if
know
you don't like your job and you're there.
Well, he said he liked it.
I thought he said he didn't like it.
He said, I like my job. I love the, he's like, I like my job. I love the life it gives me. So obviously he, I'm assuming by what I infer from that.
That he's,
because I have friends just, that have said this. He makes probably decent money.
And so he's just okay going through the motions.
He's fine with the job, but he loves the life it gives him.
Yeah, I don't think that's living. I don't believe that's living. If you're just okay with a job, then you're not living. I mean, the job where we first met at, Maddie, where I was there, I could have done that for 20 years. I could have been okay there just – well, actually, I couldn't because the boss was kind of a creep. But – big creep.
Sorry.
I know. But, you know, you could just be somewhere. I think if you don't love it, if you're not excited every morning to get up and do it, if you're not willing to do it for free, then you need to move on. Because
there is something
you,
to be said about that.
If you get hit by a bus tomorrow, and I know I'm going to that extreme, or if you find out that you have a brain aneurysm, or you find out that you have liver failure because you've been taking too many Tylenols, any of that stuff could happen. You're going to be like, fuck, I just spent the last 15 years at a job that I just liked.
That's true. That, okay, you convinced me, because I was going to kind of be like, ah, oh, maybe. But that you, when you said the whole hit by a bus thing, because I said that after I did Brave Trails, I said if I got hit by a bus, I would be okay, because I realized I did something in my life that if, that left a legacy. I think that's what we really most – I think all humans want that. I think that's why a lot of people have children. It's like our we want some type of immortality and to know that we've made a mark here. And but even if I was like a therapist, a one-on-one therapist, I wouldn't feel the same way about that.
Yeah.
That's why people are like, oh, you got a master's in psychology and you didn't go directly into therapy. I went, no, I'm doing – I did the camp. I'm doing the show. It's those are the things for me that like feels like I'm making a mark.
Exactly.
So I, it doesn't sound like you feel like you're making a mark, Richard.
Exactly. And if you don't feel that way – and also your wife must see it. She's sensing something. So she's trying to encourage you whether you're receiving it or not. That's – God or the universe, again, trying
Judy
to speak
Garland.
To you and saying, hey,
hey,
boo-boo,
Beyonce.
Yeah, I'm not seeing nothing. You
well,
gotta change it up.
And you know, you did, because you said, you know, what would you do for free? My cousin Kelly did that. I remember she said that to me when I was in high school. She told me, she said, imagine what you would want to do, and it would be okay if you didn't get paid. And that helped me figure out what I want to do in my life and get a degree in opera, because, you know, so many people make money from that.
Yes.
But, woo! However, Richard, you know, you did say at the end, and it was a little snarky, but you said she doesn't mind the paycheck that you make. What that means is I'm going to gloss over any passive aggressiveness more about, because I don't care about that. But what I do care is that you brought up money. So to me, I think maybe you're thinking, which I think a lot of men do, that money equivocates success.
Yeah.
And yes, I don't want to be unrealistic. You have to freaking eat.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fucking pay your bills. Like this, all these things have to happen. And where that can balance out with what, I mean, anyone who is hugely successful, super rich, Oprah, Tony Robbins, whatever, they will tell you they did what they love first. And I just listened to Oprah, an interview on NPR with Oprah, because she just bought she didn't buy Weight Watchers.
Yeah, invested in stocks and Weight Watchers.
Somebody said, was this a business decision or something from the heart? She said, I always lead with decisions from my heart and then hope that they turn out as a good business decision. And, you know, probably at the end of the day, Richard, like, OWN is still a struggling network.
It is.
It is. It's not.
Tell you from somebody who was working there.
It is.
They are.
You're like, where's the craft service? Exactly. They're like, peanut butter jelly, bitches.
Exactly.
You're like, what? I'm doing my own makeup? Okay. What? I have to fluff myself?
Exactly.
But it's still, I know that I've done things that I was like, I'm going to do this, and it didn't work out. And I'm at least glad that I went with my gut.
Yes. Agreed.
Is there anything you wish you would have done, Richard? Like, I paused like he was here. Like,
I know.
Gonna answer. Like, Richard's on the phone. Girl, Maddie, I have a dream. But no, ask yourself that. Is there anything that if you got hit by a bus tomorrow that you would say, man, I wish I would have done that?
Yes, please.
Because you probably need to focus on that a little bit.
I know. I just want people to start just living. You're right. We all need money to live and survive, even though this whole contract of money is fake. Come on, let's be real.
Somebody
just printed money and was like, oh, this has value.
Yeah, it's the same reason why we work 40, 50 hours a week, because some white guy in Europe like 600 years ago said, we should all work Monday through Friday.
Exactly.
9 to 5.
Exactly.
Read the 4-hour work week. It changes your life, people.
Thank you. Seriously. So I'm just like, you just have to get to this point where, like what I do with hosting, I literally love. I love it. I love debating. I love talking. I love sharing my emotions. I love it so much. And there's so many times that I do not get paid shit for it. I mean, I've been on national television shows. and I'm like...
And now you're here.
I'm like, I'm not getting... But this is a good one. This is like home. I'm just mad that I'm not getting invited more. Like, I need to be a regular over here. Okay?
I will have you every week.
I'm just saying. Tell me when.
Jake will be like, what?
Okay.
He'll get it.
But no, so I'm just always like, if you love it, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, when I get home, I'm so excited about the day that I had. And in the past 2.5 years, I can't remember a day where I was like, fuck, what did I do that for? Because every single day I've been doing what I love.
Oh. That's not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
Well, and Richard, too, you know, think about, you know, I don't know your beliefs. I don't know if you believe in God, if you believe in heaven, hell, whatever. But wherever you believe that there's eternal life and all that, then that's wonderful. But this life now, this is it, Richard. Like,
this is it.
Even if you believe in reincarnation and you go to another life, but this life,
this is it.
The body you have, the experience, this is it. And I don't, yeah, actually, I do mean that to scare you, because I mean that to scare you into like waking up that the things that you probably worry about and that you think matter don't. And also look at this, how many spouses are able to let, to say no to fear, and they could say, oh, I'm glad my husband or my wife takes that job because it gives us money. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruffle the boat.
Yep.
To me, it actually sounds like a person who cares about you that loves you. You need to be doing something you're passionate about. Like, that's supportive to me.
Agreed. You got to keep her. Keep that. Keep her. She's keeper. A keeper.
Keeper.
She's a keeper.
She's a keeper. I'm telling you, Karamo sitting on my chair. The sun's setting behind him. It's like the afternoon golden rays. It is beautiful.
I mean, I'm really comfortable in your house right now.
Oh, good.
This is my favorite time of the year, by the way.
Oh, me too. This is my favorite time of year and my favorite time of day when it's like, yes. when you get the long sun rays that kind of stretch across your room. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Me too.
Yeah, we're so relaxed. Well, that's all of our questions. That's fine. We're talking forever. Now, we do a celebrity shit the bed, which we did last time. I don't remember
what celebrity shit the bed. We didn't do that.
Yeah, we did do it last time.
What did we do?
That's where we talk about something either in pop culture or some advice you would give somebody, like a celebrity or.
And it's called celebrity shit the bed?
It's called celebrity shit the bed. Like, what if they wrote in, what advice would we give them?
I love it.
Or some people talk about things they're pissed off about or they love. Or like some people talk about ISIS. I don't know what your life is.
Yeah.
Is there something like this week that doesn't have to be celebrity related. Is there anything this week that has like. Kept coming up for you? Like some people will say, oh, I want to talk about connection, or I want to talk about togetherness, or I want to talk about Rihanna. Anything
that's been coming up.
I should have reminded you of this. I keep forgetting to remind people. No,
there's tons of stuff that I've been talking about. I had this whole conversation about people. Did you know that Lindsay Lohan kind of went on Instagram, I'm assuming jokingly, and said that she wants to run for president in 2020 because...
I saw a blurb about that, but I didn't read it.
Because she was inspired by Kanye West saying it and by Donald Trump and thinking like, oh, like I could lead my generation somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people were giving her shit and saying she's stupid and doing what they do. And I actually was defending her.
Really?
Yes. I really was.
What did you like about it or what was...
I just think that... If a young woman has a dream and she's made some horrible life choices, our first reaction shouldn't be to tell her that she is stupid and that she can't do it and that her past defines her. It should be, maybe you can start taking the steps to get into office and to figure it out. And who knows what... You know, she could change her life around, and then there's a generation of women who would be watching her and saying, hey, wow, I was the drunk mess like she was, and now
women and also people struggling with addiction.
Come on.
And struggling with parents that are in and out of their lives.
So I kind of just got upset. Actually, I went on a show for Fox, and they wanted me to talk about her and the fact that she wanted to do this. And the producer kind of in the green room was like, okay, great. So we want to get a lot of good jokes in there. You know, talk about her being a drunk, talk about her drugs, talk about everything. You know, like go in on her. Like, and I was like, okay. And I went out there and it was totally different. And when I got off the show, he looked at me like he was pissed the fuck off. Like I basically just murdered his grandmother.
Better to ask for forgiveness and permission.
Or better just to walk out and say, pay me, bitches. Peace out.
Do you get that a lot in hosting stuff that people...
Want me to be mean?
Want you to be mean, or how often do you find people... I know that for me, I'll get like... There's been two or three things that I'll get this close for, and then I don't get it because I'm not like... I'm either not WeHo muscle queen looking gay, or I'm not like really snarky, fierce, bitchy gay. Yeah. And I've done things before, too, where they're like... But they want those type of sound bites from me. And I'm like, oh, that's not me. Do you get that a lot?
Yes. People want you to be so mean. And it's a balancing act.
Because you and I can say like shady things. But I don't think we're not. I actually think but one of the reasons we connect is that a tenet, I think, of both of our lives is joy.
Yes. Agreed.
And it's hard to be mean when you're filled with joy.
Agreed. I mean, we can be, like you said, shady. But I don't want... Going back to what you said about legacy, I don't want my legacy to be that I've just torn down people over and over and over again. And and then the thing is, this business is so small. I never want to be in somewhere where someone's like, you were so mean to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I'm just always like, ugh. And then, you know, you don't get another job because you're not snarky, but it's okay because it wasn't meant. It's the same thing.
Like, it wasn't meant.
Yeah. This whole conversation has been so deep and like, wow.
I go balls deep too, Karamo.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's what we try to do.
Hold on. What's your shirt say? Because I've been trying to read it this entire time.
Sorry. I show where it's riding up. It's Stephen Amell. He's on that show, The Green Arrow. He's the Green Arrow. And this shirt, like, you go, it gives money to veterans with struggling with mental illness, I believe. And so it's called... Sincerely, and then the definition is the ability to speak freely, openly, and honestly.
That's why this whole conversation has been so deep. You did this. You put this in the room.
Subconscious.
Exactly. You hit us with this sincerely.
I love it. I love it that people talk about it. I love that they gave money to a cause that I don't remember what they're doing. But I love Stephen Amell. Like, I like Arrow. I think it's a good show. I'm liking the season a little bit more. But
yeah.
I watch the show. I tweet things. I respond because I love what he stands for. He really is like a justice guy. He's about fairness and equality. Like, I just love him.
Dope. Did Jess tell you I just started a nonprofit organization?
No!
Oh, my gosh. I just started one 4 weeks ago.
What?
I'm not even fucking joking with you.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not joking.
What are you doing?
Okay. So let me give you. So you know I write for The Advocate.
Yes.
So I write for The Advocate. And about 4 weeks ago, they asked me to write something on. It was a group of us because they're submitting it for award season for around the HIV crisis.
Okay.
So obviously, the other writers are all males except for one female. And I was like, well, clearly, I got to write about the black plight. You know, otherwise, it might not get spoken about.
Yeah.
So I started doing my research, calling the CDC, and I found out that 6 in 10 gay and bisexual black men are likely to get HIV by the age of 40.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
And half of those are going to die. Oh. And the reason that the CDC informed us that they have to put likely in there is because statistics are constantly changing. So you can't say, like, all the statistics that people throw out are all likely because at any moment they could be changed. But it doesn't take away the fact of the rates. So anyway, I wrote the article and it got picked up by all of these outlets because no one had heard about this statistic.
The statistic.
So I was like, oh, how cool. Yay. Wasn't thinking anything of it. And then I got this interview from NPR and or a call from NPR, which is progressive. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sure, I'll do an interview. Got up LA, 6 o'clock LA time to do this interview. And this Southern white guy got on the phone and was like, yeah, we're going to cut your story.
Hmm.
And I was like, why? And without saying it, basically was letting me know because he didn't care about the statistic. Granted, he called me back later after I got two emails from producers and executive producer and said, no, what are you talking about? NPR, we did care. I don't know why you would think that way because I started tweeting and being really upset.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it set me into a fury. There's nothing worse than a black queen scorned, okay? And so... I immediately was like, okay, I don't want to start like a real nonprofit because mm-hmm. I don't want to get the 501c3 and all that shit.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work. So I called a friend of mine who is the founder and the president of the Black AIDS Institute, which is mm-hmm. the largest in the country, and was like, will you be my fiscal sponsor so that we can use his 501c3?
Mm-hmm.
He said yes. And then I was like, we're on and popping. Once we have that, I literally within 3 weeks got Magic Johnson Foundation on board, CDC on board, the National Black Justice Coalition on board, got celebrities on board. Our whole mission is just to eradicate the 6 in 10 statistic through tailored mental health support. And it's a messaging campaign where we're using a lot of viral videos, images to hit, you know, the self-esteem of these black gay and bisexual men so that we can change the statistic. You should look it up.
What's the name of it?
6in10.org. www.6, the number, in10.org.
Karamo.
And it's been going amazing. Like this morning, we shot our fourth viral video with, do you know who Shirley Ralph is? She was an original Dream Girl and she's been in tons of stuff. She played Moesha's mom. She's on TV right now. She plays a grandma.
Hold on. I think I spelled it wrong. Hold on.
The number 6, IN, the number 10, .org.
Okay. I did.
What did you spell it?
6 and 10. Oh. I did it wrong. Oh, look at this.
You see it?
Yes. Ah. Look at your... Oh, we're moving mics. Oh, wow. You have like red dead bodies on your... This is...
I know.
You were...
It's crazy. But anyway. Look,
so, okay. So go, for everybody, go to www.com, 6in10, 6in10.org. If you're interested, you can put your email address and subscribe to the mission. They're not going to give you, I don't know this, but you're not going to sell their emails, right, Karamo?
No, we're not selling their emails. Okay. None of that. No,
so
no.
So you're not
going
to have any
it's
of
just,
that?
It's just so that people can join the solution. And really what it is that we are just going to send them the viral videos and viral images that we're creating so that they can share on their social media platforms. That's it. Right. Because nowadays, you know, you can try to do, there's, everyone is doing the work in the communities, which I love, but we're not that type of organization. We're going to figure out how to help the self-esteem of these individuals on the devices that they use and look at daily. And so it's very tailored. So we're going to be hitting the Black church. We're going to be hitting Black families. We're going to be hitting schools, you know, through the messaging. And
I think also, too, it's just there's, I thought it was better, but I didn't realize the disparity of the lack of conversation about even HIV, but also gay, bisexualness in the Black community still. And I mean, I knew it was, but I didn't realize it was, honestly, and this is my opinion, you can speak to this more than me, but how in some communities, how like not progressive and how still like, I feel like in the like dark ages, people aren't about this, because I know reaching out for Brave Trails was, we tried to contact, I personally tried to contact many African American, because camping's like a white industry, and we really wanted to have diversity of counselors, and people even like on Facebook would be like, would message us and say, it bothers me that all the directors are white, and it was like, instead of like blaming us, it was a little bit like, try to work with us, because it's hard to even outreach to that community, because so many young Black kids, especially, are entrenched in some type of church.
Yep. Well, from my experience, both
I'm gonna turn on the light. Keep talking.
Yeah, from my experience, being both a Black gay man, but is that African Americans have so many other issues that they feel are more important, that they feel that they have to deal with. I mean, even look at the Black Lives Matter movement. It's around straight Black men predominantly.
Yeah.
But then when you think about the number of Black women who are abused and who are being killed, the number of trans African-Americans that are being killed, like, these numbers are high. You know what I mean? Like, I tell you, 6 in 10 Black gay men are dying of HIV. That's
shocking.
You know, but, you know, we are in this place where we've prioritized what we need to focus on first. And it's wrong. And it's,
sorry, my dog's itching. She's fine. But yeah, no, it is. I mean, every crazy minority has had to do that of picking and choosing battles.
Exactly. And so it's just so far as that the gays
are, 'cause the white male folk can't take too much.
Yes, exactly.
It's true. It's like an overload. And I'm not saying that's the way that it needs to be. I'm just saying that is though the, like, I think it's been gay marriage for us, but
yep. Like, and that's like an issue that
I don't
want to
get married.
Most black communities or Black families or gay Black families, they're not as concerned with marriage equality as, you know, so it's all these issues. And you're right, things have to change. And I really feel, and this is why I'm being aggressive, and the Magic Johnson Foundation has sort of supporting us and is supporting us now, is because we no longer, I understand that you need radical change, but you need it in a way that's going to penetrate a large majority. And being in the media, if we don't have viral videos and viral messaging, no one's clicking on organizations anymore. No one's doing that stuff. It's probably the hardest thing. People want to watch something 30 seconds on their phone and get a message, hashtag it, and send it on. And so we're gonna use that to our advantage and we're going to change the statistic.
Talk about a legacy.
So yeah, so that all just popped up in 4 years because some bitch pissed me off.
Well, I'm glad NPR pissed you off.
Seriously, it wasn't NPR. I don't want to give NPR a bad name. It was one person. It was a host. Ugh. Because I got emails immediately from the producers that were like,
yeah,
we're
NPR,
so sorry.
Yeah, I'm a little bit like, I listen to NPR.
Yeah, they're progressive.
And
we did the interview later. I did it a week later with him. And this time, I was able to promote my organization. So it was like, it was like, you didn't care. So now you're going to promote what I have to say. Fuck
only
off.
You start a nonprofit in like 4 days.
I know. It's crazy.
You're amazing.
It's crazy.
Well, we're at Chatty Maddie now.
Chatty Maddie!
Do you remember these questions?
I don't.
Well, it's okay. Because they change because you've already been here. So it's basically five questions.
Yes.
And they're the same each week. But if you're somebody different, we ask different questions. So I'm ready when you're...
I'm ready. I'm listening. My son just emailed me.
No, do your thing. Do your life. So I should have listened because... I want to ask this question because you talked about this earlier, but Chatty Maddie question, let's say number one. Okay. What would be the name of your memoir?
Oh, the name of my memoir?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I just talked about this last night with Ian in the kitchen. Oh shit, I was being funny, but then I said this would be the name of my... Oh, fuck. No, hold on. I'm sorry. I have to do this because
He's on his phone right now. He's
looking. I'm calling my boyfriend, and I literally last night in the kitchen said this would be the name of my book and or my memoir. And it was so great. And now my mind is fucked. I can't remember it.
I love the beard, by the way.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Sexy.
Oh, we're waiting. This is our first call-in.
I know it's a call-in. Can you hear it?
Yeah. I can hear it. Is he going to answer?
I mean, we never miss each other's calls. If we do, he's going to call right back. Oh, this is so sad.
Oh, no.
Okay, we might go to the next question. We're going to go to the next question.
We'll go to the next question.
He's going to call back.
All right. Okay. This is a new question. I don't know why. We'll see if it works or not. What is the one piece of clothing like that you put on? And if you want to have a good day, what do you put on and why?
Nothing. I hate clothes.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Yes, so. I hate clothes. So there's not a piece of clothing. Every time I put on clothes, I feel like I'm suffocating myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we're going to the nudist colony.
Exactly. All right. That's exactly why. All right. So, yes, there's not a piece of clothing that I put on.
Okay. All right. Moving on. So.
What piece of clothing do you put on?
I love, honestly, this is, is he calling?
Yes.
Call and answer the phone.
Okay. We have our first caller. Hey, Sugar.
Hey, babe.
Hey, so you're on with Maddie.
Hello. Hello, we're taping a show right now.
And you're on.
What's up, everybody?
Hello. We have a question. I asked Karamo what would be the name of your memoir, and he said you just talked about it, but he can't remember.
Remember last night in the kitchen, I said, oh, that would be the name of it, and then... But I can't remember what I said it was.
I can't remember either.
Oh, you suck!
You don't gotta tell everybody.
I know.
Well, maybe.
Well, we've already talked about that. We've already talked about that.
Well, then maybe your memoir is...
You suck.
You suck.
No, it was a really good one. Come on, Sugar. Remember.
It was really good, too.
What was it?
It was... And you were like, that'd be a good name of a memoir. And I was like, no, it's completely inappropriate.
No, it was something like because I'm a host. It was something along the lines of
I'm afraid of success. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what I'm talking about. That's what it was. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I love that.
That's what it is. Bye. Yes, that's what it is. All right, I love you, Sugar.
Love you too.
All right, I love you too. Bye. He said bye, everybody.
So that's what it is. It was
I don't know
what I'm talking about.
That is #hashtag truth.
Because
I'm right there with you.
Sometimes literally.
You're hosting and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
But just in life as well. As we grow, we realize that the experience we had at some point and the advice we were giving, 10 years later, you're like, why did I give that advice to
anybody? I feel like that's how we truly define who we are, is that at least for me, I either hear myself or I read something that I wrote like 5 years ago and I go, oh, that still matches up with my moral code. And then I'm able to go, okay, that I'm going to kind of keep.
Yes.
Kind of take. But then there's a lot of things where, because I was very judgmental, especially in high school,
mm-hmm.
that I'm like, that doesn't work for me anymore.
Yes.
But it's just evolving.
So that would be the name of my memoir. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I love it. I love it. All right. All right. Chatty Maddie question.
All of that build up for that shit.
Hey, I loved
That's
it.
So horrible.
But you don't know what we're talking about. Number three, what day would be your Groundhog Day? You know that movie where he lives the same day over and over and over?
Yes, but that was a day that he didn't like.
But what day?
So,
but so for you,
would mine be if I liked or I didn't?
Yeah, if it was a day you liked, what would be your Groundhog Day?
The day that would be my Groundhog Day. Of course, right now. If I could do this every day with Maddie.
Aww. come on. Don't make me moist. Right here in the middle of the chair. Oh, Lord.
No, what would be my Groundhog Day? My Groundhog Day would be...
It's okay to think. It's a podcast. We can have dead air. You can have dead air on a podcast. It's fine.
I know. I'm just trying
to live TV.
I am. Usually I have to be quick, but yeah, these are... Quick.
It's fine. They're thinking questions. They're thinking questions.
Thinking.
thinking questions.
But I don't know. I don't think there's a day that I'd want to relive. But if there was had to been a day I would relive, what's a day that I've been really happy?
Like, well, I'm assuming you're probably naked.
Yeah.
Because that's your thing. No,
that is, maybe. I'm really thinking hard. If there's one day that I would really want to live...
People usually, you know, they'll say they're...
You know what?
What?
There is one.
What?
There is one. My best friend, Ray, his wedding day.
Oh, why?
Because I've known him since I was 14. Mm-hmm. We've never, ever not been together. That's why I was talking about the soulmate thing.
Yeah, he's my best friend, Sean, is my soulmate.
Yes. And on his wedding day... I've never seen him so happy, and him being so happy, I was so happy, so overcome with emotion. I'm not a crier, and I'm getting teary-eyed now. Every time I think of him, I get filled with so much happiness, and I start to cry, but like a good cry. And that day, I cried for maybe 2.5 hours, and I don't know, just that's like my happy place, thinking about how happy he is.
I love that.
That would be my Groundhog Day.
And it honestly too, like as I see you doing better and just getting more and more success, it's obviously we haven't been best friends for like 20 years, but it does feel like a void in my heart of like longing for my own success to see you successful.
Aww.
I truly does.
Aww.
I really, and I can say that about a lot of people. Jealousy's not, it comes up every once in a while, but very rarely for me.
Yes.
Which is nice.
What would be your Groundhog Day?
I think that this is the first thing that came to my mind is I remember playing with one of my nephews when he was 2, and I remember the first time he called me Uncle Matt. It was just like, it was either that or the day I sang with Shania Twain. That was pretty fantastic.
That's a pretty good one to do. Over
and over again. I just, yeah, that was.
Oh, now I feel like a shitty guy because I didn't say that the first day that my son called me dad.
Nope. No. A lot of people don't talk about their kids because there's so much. It's different with a nephew. There's so much responsibility with your children. Like one of the guys said, it's not going to be the day my kid was born. I was fucking stressed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, because when I think about that day that I met my child for the very first time, I was so stressed and nervous and scared.
To death. Yeah, it's not. No.
Yeah. No, wouldn't have any of those days.
All right, 2 more.
Okay.
Chatty Matty number 4. Best piece of advice. I'm sorry, let me say that again. Best piece of advice you wished you had taken?
Best piece of advice I wish I would have taken.
A little earlier in life.
Not to swallow. It's the truth. You
not your thing.
Don't swallow.
Okay.
Somehow I find myself always swallowing.
But hey.
Hey.
Well, I don't know if that goes. Well, you can probably get something from that.
Can you? I don't know. Should look that up.
you really don't know what you're talking about.
I know. I really don't know what I'm talking about. I just told you this. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. Do not be surprised if I develop a talk show now, because now that this has come up again, I think I might develop something around the fact that, I don't know, I'm about to go trademark this the minute we leave out of here.
Seriously.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right. Last Chatty Matty question. You know, I asked this on the first one, but I'll ask it again because maybe it's a different answer.
Yeah.
When are you most likely to be inspired?
Hold on. It'd be great to go back to that podcast and see if I say the same answer.
We'll listen.
No, seriously, I would really love to see it's been a year. So I would say the time that I'm most inspired, is it the time of day is what we're asking?
Yeah. Ooh, I meant yeah, I like that, actually. Let's put a flip on it. Is there a time of day you're normally inspired?
I'm most inspired at nighttime.
Really?
Yeah, in the middle of the night, like once 10 o'clock hits, I can get into a work mode.
Really?
And I don't know if it's because I trained myself, because in undergrad, I had to work the overnight shift at a hotel. I was the night manager.
Uh-huh.
Because that was the only way I could, I had to pay for my own college, that I could afford to go to school and pay for, and work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a full load all 4 years. Full load. Still taking wow. full loads.
Yeah. Six and ten.
Six and ten.
Just so you know.
night times. Ever since then, I get into a mode where I get so creative.
I love the nightlife. I like the boogie.
But if, I guess outside of a time of day, I'm most inspired when I see everyday things happening. So like everyday moments,
mm-hmm.
like you being here just starts just like, hey, Wonder Woman, just gets me going.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when. And now I want to hear what I said a year ago.
Okay. I will.
Not now, but we can afterwards.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, tell everybody where they can find you.
You're in Maddie's bed, butt naked.
Well,
that's the normal place to look.
You can find a lot of men there.
Exactly.
Lots.
If you can't find me there, I'm usually under his car stalking him.
It's true.
I miss you.
Always.
Please don't leave me. And then I'm not there, that's because I've probably been locked up. But no, seriously, you can find me on all of my social media at Karamo Brown, K-A-R-A-M-O, Karamo Brown.
And if you don't know how to spell Brown, I can't help you.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
Like, yeah. And then you can watch me still on HuffPost Live.
Mm-hmm.
Huffington Post Live. Some people don't know what HuffPost is, but Huffington Post has their live broadcast. You can also see me sometimes on Dr. Drew Live. You can also see me as an entertainment correspondent for Fox News twice a week if you're in LA. And that's it.
I will say, when I think of you and then I think of Fox News, not really what I imagined.
Because it's local. It's the local Fox News.
Okay.
So, yeah, they hire me to do corresponding work for entertainment.
Oh.
But, you know, and LA Fox, LA News is so fluff. Like,
they would love you on Fox News, though, because you would get ratings because some white blonde bitch would say something and you would take her to school.
I would cuss her ass out.
You know what,
I would love it.
If I got paid to be a host, I'd be on Fox News right now with Bill O'Reilly lap dancing his ass.
Exactly. So, yes. Yeah. So that's where you can find me, darling.
Well, and sometimes on billboards, I see you around.
I do model too. I do model. I do have billboards. I don't know. You saw my Dockers campaign that was earlier this year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I had a Levi's campaign.
Nice. No.
Well, it's back. I just shot a new fall campaign, which will be out in no time. So you'll be seeing me in my Levi's like this.
Oh,
by the way, I'm bent over.
He's wearing Levi's right now, everyone.
Actually, these were free from them.
Oh, well, they're beautiful jeans.
Thank you.
I just went to the Levi's store yesterday.
Thank you. Apparently, they fit my ass very well.
They do. Curled up in my couch like a lounge singer.
Wow.
Well, we're going to go before shit happens.
Exactly.
But you know the rest. I have two questions. I need more questions, people. DearMattyShow.com.
Yes.
That's where you can go. And you can find everything on social media for me at TheMattMar. I want to thank Karamo Brown, who's not only a wonderful, joyous person, but it's also good in bed.
I love you, my little ginger.
I love you, too. And, everybody, do something for someone this week, and we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.